Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Pros Podcast. My name is Josh Cobb, and today I'm joined by good friends of Real Estate Pros all the way from the United States, Jay Bayer and Erica Campbell Byram, the co-authors of Utility for Real Estate. Jay and Erica are going to give us an insight into how the real estate market in the United States compares to Australia. They're going to share the stories behind some of the great examples in their new book, including a couple of Australian real estate brands, and help us understand why smart real estate professionals are helping, not selling. But before we catch up with Jay and Erica, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Consol, Australia's leading real estate agency software, offering property management, sales management, property data, and website solutions. Let us help you grow your business. Visit www.consol.com.au.
So this week, I wanted to share with you a piece of software that I've personally been using for quite some time. It's called Sidekick by a company called HubSpot. And if you've done any email marketing before using programs like MailChimp or Marketo or any of those large bulk emailing programs, and you're tracking who's opened your emails, what they've clicked on, well, Sidekick brings that functionality into Microsoft Outlook and Gmail. So you can track and monitor those individual emails that you send throughout the day. So if you're sending things like paperwork or contracts to clients or buyers, solicitors, you can actually monitor that in real time. And the software is free. You can plug it straight into Microsoft Outlook, straight into Gmail, and you can get notifications either on your computer or set them up on your phone. So you'll know exactly when someone's opened an email that you've sent or what they've clicked on when they've opened the email. So it's a really powerful piece of software, for salespeople, but the property managers, receptionists, and really everyone in the office. So I'd highly recommend go and check it out at www.getsidekick.com. So GETSidekick.com. And with that, let's transition into this week's interview. So I'm super excited about welcoming our special guest today and our good friends all of the way from the United States, Jay Bayer and Erica Campbell Byram, the co-authors of an amazing new book being released on November 4 called Utility for Real Estate, Why Smart Real Estate Professionals Are Helping, Not Selling. I was lucky enough to get a copy of the book to read before today's interview, and I cannot recommend it highly enough to anyone and everyone who works in the real estate industry. You absolutely need to get yourself a copy. Now, to give some background on our guest today, Jay Bayer is a social media and content marketing consultant, a New York Times best-selling author, and acclaimed keynote speaker and MC. Jay's company, Convince & Convert, has worked with 30 of the Fortune 500 brands, including Nike, Sony, Caterpillar, Walmart, and more. The blog has been voted as the number one content marketing blog in the world by Content Marketing Institute and the number three social media blog in the world by Social Media Examiner. Erica Campbell Byram is the director of social media for Rent Media Solutions and Homes.com. She is the real estate marketing expert with more than 10 years of experience, a frequent industry speaker, and a recipient of the 2014 PR News Social Media MVP Award. Additionally, Erica serves on the board of the American Marketing Association Hamptons Road Chapter. Jay and Erica, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh. That's pretty spectacular introductions. We should like write a book or something. That was that was unnecessary. It's nice to be back with you, my friend.
No, very nice to see you. How are you going, Erica?
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but can I start with you, Erica, and get you to tell us a little more about you personally and what your respective businesses are all about?
Sure. So a little bit more about me. I am a sport and wine lover. I also love to travel. I've been with the same company for actually 10 years, and it's our parent company, Dominion Enterprises, which is a leading marketing services company. And I actually office out of our headquarters here in Norfolk, Virginia. I dabbled in a couple of our other brands before joining the real estate and multifamily housing side, anywhere from automotive to vacation rental startups. But for the last 8 years, I've been with the multifamily housing side with Ferrari. .com and in real estate with homes.com for the last three. Currently, my responsibility is really just overseeing the corporate social media roadmap and the strategies for business to consumer and business to business for both brands. And then I pioneered a social media and reputation management services that we actually sell to real estate and multifamily professionals within the industry to help them with their social media. So all in all, it's pretty evolving and aggressive space for us.
So would it, you would say that you've the brands are facing both sides. You've got the industry facing side of the business and the consumer side of the business as well.
Absolutely. So on the consumer side, our main primary goal is to help them, you know, find a place to live and make that the easiest process as possible. And then on the business to business side, we provide real estate and multifamily professionals with a wide variety of services, everything from websites to SEO, social media, you know, property listing exposure and so forth. So it does serve both ends.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. And Jay, what about you, my friend?
I basically travel around and give speeches is essentially what it does. Our company, Convince and Convert, has three lines of business. We have a consulting arm, which provides content marketing strategy and a social media marketing strategy to big companies, primarily in North America. There are 10 people in the company overall. We do a lot of speaking and training. So I'm out on the road a lot doing those kind of things. And then we have a content engine on our own. So our blog, our podcasts, we now have two podcasts, soon to be three. We have a daily email newsletter, lots of webinars and ebooks, things like that. We have a new website launching soon called marketingpodcasts.com, which will be a discovery engine for marketing podcasts like this one. So we'll be excited to have you in there as well. So always things going on in the Convince and Convert world.
Fantastic. And now for something that our listeners may not know about you, Jay, is that you have an affinity for one of our sporting teams over here. Can you tell us a little more about that?
I do. I should have worn the hat or the jersey. I wasn't what I think, and I should have worn the sweater. I am a big fan of the Premiers for the first time in 47 years.
43, if I'm not mistaken.
43 years. I am a Rabbits fan. The Rabbitohs are my team. I am an official supporter of the Rabbitohs. I was out in Sydney about 18 months ago doing some speaking and got to go to the opener, the Rabbits versus the Roosters, and fell in love with the game and picked a good team. I like the logo and like the colors. Like the long-suffering fan base. And so as soon as I became a fan of the team, they actually win the premiership for the first time since I was 2 years old. So I don't know if that's a correlation or a causation, but it's true.
Nice connection. No, yes. Russell Crowe is one of the best sports marketers out there, I think, whether he knows it or not. But how did you guys meet each other?
You were talking about the Hampton Roads AMA, and I came out and did a presentation about utility during the original book tour, and Eric helped put that together and helped underwrite my coming to town. And then I got the chance to do sort of a side presentation for her and her team at Dominion Enterprises. And we got to spend some time together. I'm like, wow, this lady is really, really, really smart. And I want to do some more things with her. And I was thinking about different verticals to take the utility concept into. The first book in the theme was Utility for Accountants, which came out this March. And I started thinking, geez, you know, real estate would be a good market for this concept. And who could I work with on this? Who could really bring a lot to the project? And Erica was the one and only person in the U.S. that I thought of. If I would have written it outside the U.S., it would have been you, Josh. So Erica nudged you out as the co-author of Utility for Real Estate. So you're the backup plan if she said no, my man.
Oh, that's very nice. The understudy, as they call them.
Yes, that's right. So if she gets sick, if like she gets a little bit of a sore throat, we're putting you in.
Yes.
I'm putting you in.
All right. Now, Erica, I recently spent some time in the United States, and I found there to be a number of differences between the Australian real estate market and the US market, particularly in the areas of commission structures, how listing portals operate, and the amount of people working in each brokerage. And can you outline with, you know, what a typical brokerage looks like in the US in relation to the amount of people typically working in a brokerage firm, the commission structures for agents, and maybe a brief overview of how the listing portals work in the US?
Sure. So I'll start with the breakdown of the MLS, you know, also known as the multiple listing service. It's a little bit different. It's a basic agreement between the competing agents to work together to really find the buyers for each of their listings. And then they share in the commission of that sale. And then how portals come into play with that, it's just a combination of information from listings from several different sources, primarily being the MLS. And we aggregate that into a centralized website for consumers to view. And they really view that before they take that next step with working with the local real estate professional. But then your typical makeup of an actual brokerage is really quite different. So, for example, 81% of real estate firms, they have a single office with typically two full-time real estate licensed pros. And the majority of those full-time pros and agents, they work under commission split with the actual brokerage. And that's going to vary too. And then 84% of firms in the U.S. that are, they're independent, non-franchisees firms. And then 14% are independent franchise firms. So you're going to see the makeup's really different, not only from the actual realtor structure, but then also if you look at license as, that percentage is going to be different. They also have a breakdown by category. So percentage commission split versus 100% commission versus salary only and share of profits only. So it really just depends on the local market, the level of services that they're providing. So you'll see an entire scale. And I can actually send you that scale because it's quite intensive because it breaks down so many components.
Well, that'd be great. We'll try and get that linked up in the show notes. That'd be fantastic. Now, Jay, your second book, Utility, was a New York Times bestseller. Can you explain for our listeners the concept behind Utility and what compelled you to write a follow-up book or ebook focused on real estate? Why real estate?
Well, I actually have right here, this is hot off the presses. Literally, I got this on Friday, Utility in Polish. So if anybody wants to take a crack at this in Polish, I now have that available. You just let me know. What's funny, when they translate books, whoever buys the rights in other countries can do whatever they want to the artwork. I have no say so. So the cover image here says, Happy Thanksgiving, which I'm not totally sure that's exactly how I was looking to roll this out, but whatever. It's not a book about Thanksgiving. It is a book about making marketing so useful that people will pay for it. That one of the problems with marketers today is that everybody is non-differentiated. They're trying to do the same things, reach the same audiences. And Utility is a way that you can stand apart by creating marketing that people actually cherish, marketing that people want to receive, instead of what we usually do, which is create marketing that people are simply tolerant of. So there's lots and lots of examples in the regular Utility hardcover book. And as I mentioned a little bit ago, after the book was such a success, I started thinking, you know, there's a lot of industries that would really benefit from going deeper into their own circumstances and telling stories mostly from their vertical. And so the first one was Utility for Accountants. Utility for Real Estate is the next one. And then we've got a few others kind of in various stages of consideration for next year. Restaurants is probably the one that we would probably tackle next, just because there's so many of them and they are so manifestly poor at marketing usually.
And Erica, in the first line of the foreword in the book, you said that one of the common misconceptions about marketing is that the louder you shout, the better you'll be heard. Can you give us a few examples of the type of activity that people in real estate do that plays to your point and what is forcing them to change?
Yeah, so a lot of times when I'm scrolling through my newsfeed of industry professionals that I'm connected with, oftentimes I see them pushing their listings, their closings, any open houses that they have. And I see more times than often, it's just all about pushing as much inventory out there as possible. And that's not what they need to do to be heard. And over time, that becomes really unnecessary to their audience. And it's really just beating them over the head with the core business. And what I love about Jay's concept of Utility and why I think it's great for real estate is it's about helping find what clients and prospects need and help them find that solution. So we're starting to see as the news feeds become more cluttered and as there's more information in there and there's more competition, they need to really rely on a different way and a different approach to really communicate with that consumer base. And so becoming more helpful and is going to help them break through that noise. So I think technology and Facebook's algorithm changing, that's really forcing us to communicate differently. And it's no longer just about pushing inventory out there.
Yeah, fantastic. And I remember hearing Laura Fitton from HubSpot speak at Inman Conference back in July. And she said, it resonated with me and everyone in the audience. She said, really what you've got to start doing is start talking about the people you help and stop talking about yourself. And I think that's so true, isn't it?
Well, and it's a somewhat easier switch, I think, for real estate professionals than it is for other industries, because the entire process of buying and selling real estate is very much about helping. It is a very consultative business to be in. And so I find that professional service providers, whether it's accountants or realtors or doctors or lawyers, I did a utility speech last week for a group of oral surgeons who do dental surgery, which maybe a little bit weird, but anybody who was active in that sort of services category has, in my estimation, an easier path to get to utility than somebody who's selling a product.
Yep, no doubt, no doubt. And Jay, what are some of the other challenges that people in the business of real estate face today when it comes to creating awareness of their brand, generating leads and increasing advocacy of their brand? What should they be really focusing on to move the needle in all those three areas?
I think there's two big issues, and Erica would probably have a better handle on this than I would because she lives it every day. But from my perspective, there's two big problems in real estate. One is that people sort of, they're undifferentiated, right? People think of realtors as almost like a school of fish, and that they all do the same things and that they're all involved in the same things and they all operate the same way. And what you see in many cases is real estate professionals all sort of trying the same marketing tactics. There's just not a lot of people breaking out of the pack. And consequently, when you think of real estate professionals, there may be somebody that you know who does it as their occupation, but you know them because you know them. You don't know them because they're a differentiated marketer. And I think the second issue is that so much of real estate is driven by leads that you didn't necessarily earn through being good at marketing. You earn through a referral. I know a guy who knows a guy whose sister is a realtor, or somebody like me, when I moved to my current residence, just shows up in town and walks into a real estate office and says, I'm here. There's a lot of realtors who have made a lot of successes in their career feasting on those kind of leads, but those are not leads that you actually did much to get. They just sort of fell into your lap. And because real estate is so cyclical, when times are great, you can live on those kind of leads. And when times are bad, you haven't gotten good at marketing because you didn't have to get good at marketing. And so I think the cyclical nature of real estate kind of causes real estate professionals to not be as sharp of marketers as they probably could or should be.
And what are some of the things you're seeing, Erica, in that space? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the consumer is absolutely evolving, and the consumer is becoming smarter and they're more informed in the process, and they want that transparency. And what we're finding now with mobile and web and every and social media, they want this information and they're getting it a lot faster than they actually would if you know they're researching their local pro. And so what's happening is oftentimes consumers will remove the local real estate professional out of the equation entirely because they're becoming so informed themselves. So that creates a big challenge in our industry where you need to be top of mind. You need to be producing as much information out there so that you can help that decision maker versus them cutting you out completely.
Well, Jay and Erica, thank you so much for your input so far. I'm going to delve into the book a little bit more in just a moment. But before we do that, we're going to hear our Fast Fact of the Week. This week's Fast Fact comes from the Digital Down Under study conducted by Exact Target, where they surveyed people from around Australia about their behaviour online. And one of the results from the report that really stood out was that 27% of consumers like a brand on Facebook in order to show their support in front of their friends and family. So with Facebook a place where people are willing to provide endorsements to the companies they like simply to look good in front of others, what are you doing to position your company as a shareable real estate brand? I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop us a line via our website, Facebook or Twitter. Erica, there are so many great examples in the book about real estate businesses really thinking outside the square when it comes to marketing their brand and its people. Can you pick out one example that comes to mind for you? Explain a little bit about what they are doing to move the needle and why they are so successful in your opinion.
I think one of my favorite examples in real estate, and I use them all the time in a lot of my presentations, is the Corcoran Group. They do an outstanding job, not only with video, but also with social media, and then pairing the two together. And in 2014, they did this awesome campaign called Live Who You Are, where they really uncovered this awesome connection between who people are and how they live. So it became less about the actual listings and the apartments. And that's their core, you know, mission over there, is that they really believe that it's more than just a house or an apartment, and it's all about where you live and it's who you are. So a lot of their marketing campaigns are centered around the surrounding area of the actual property and location. So I've seen their campaigns for years after years, and you just see them all tie back into this core theme. And it was a completely integrated campaign from a microsite to social media. They had video, where they really documented And it told these beautiful stories about the passions of people and the lifestyles and the dreams of the consumer for reaching that dream for their home. In addition to that, when they dive into social media, they cross over into local areas. So they leave local tips and top lists with inside of Foursquare. So if you're browsing and you find a bar, or you find a restaurant, 9 times out of 10, you're going to see the Corcoran Group leaving a list or a tip there, whether it's the best concert venues in New York or the best beer spots in Manhattan. They also have these killer infographics where they, you know, combine the Upper East Side versus the Lower West Side and local eateries. So it's all about that surrounding area, and it's so much more than just the actual home. So I think that they do a knockout job in the industry for that.
That's really interesting. Over in Australia here, we've got some large franchise brands that distribute content out to their agencies across the country. And what they're doing is basically distributing that content, generic content via social media or their newsletters or wherever it may be. I guess what you've touched on there is really people getting hyper local. What are your thoughts on the importance of that in today's marketplace for real estate?
Well, I think it's huge. I mean, the user is completely connected to their device and they're really banking on that local, whether it's through Yelp or through Foursquare for finding local reviews, even down to mobile devices with different apps and technology there. So I think that they need to be centered around location. And we've always done that as an industry, right? Our profile pages on our websites, we specialize in certain areas, but now we just need to tell that story a little bit better and center it more around that versus always focusing in on the listing. So they're probably one of the better ones in the industry. Granted, they're also selling high-end luxury real estate in Manhattan. So they have a beautiful story to tell, but they could easily just toss up a video, but they do it in such a magnificent way where they're telling a story and they're selling a lifestyle versus just the actual square footage and price and so forth.
Actually, I might just take from your point there, Erica. I saw a post this morning from you, Jay, saying, you know, when your children are going to bed, they're not really asking for a PR pitch. They're asking for a story. What are your thoughts on that for people in real estate and how that relates?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we have to understand, not just in real estate, but really in all forms of business, is that you can give yourself permission to make the story bigger. One of the things that we talk about in the book is that, you know, one of the challenges for real estate is that you're always talking about real estate and why on one level, yes, you want to be massively hyper-local and super relevant, but also you have to realize that realtors know a lot about a lot, right? You know about the good schools, you know about the good restaurants, you know about all the ins and outs of your community. And that is in some cases your differentiator. So I think you've got to give yourself permission to make the story bigger. I mean, one of my favorite examples is actually from right there in your neighborhood, Josh, our friend Sarah Bell, who I think was the first guest on your new show. This is where you plug the new show. Go ahead, plug the new show. Go ahead, plug it, plug it.
No, I'll let you do it for us. That's fantastic. Thanks so much, Shay. You're very kind.
Sarah is one of the case studies from Brad Bell Real Estate in the Utility for Real Estate book. And in addition to having a fantastic website that they have created to document the successes and tell the stories of other businesses, not their business, other businesses in their local community, they call it the Hub. They also own their own coffee shop. So they're actually using the coffee shop as a way to create gravity in the community and sort of indirectly raise awareness for their brokerage, which is very much playing that indirect, what we would call marketing sideways game. Very, very smart.
No doubt. And Jay, we have got a couple of Australian examples in the book. And can you give us a little preview to, alluded to Sarah's example there of Brad Bell Real Estate. Have you got any other examples there that are some of your favorite that stand out?
Yeah, our friend Doug from Star Partners is a terrific example of one of the things we talk about in the book called real-time relevancy. And they have a fantastic mobile application. You may have talked about it on the show in the past. It's an augmented reality app where you can point your phone at either their print advertisements, even their outdoor signage, even signs in front of listings. And the listing itself comes to life. It gives you a three-dimensional representation of the floor plan of the home and a bunch of other information. They've got the whole thing set up so that their agents can add that technology to their listings very, very easily, very inexpensively. It is a fantastic, fantastic system. And the guys at Star Partners are continuing to innovate. I think they were named the most innovative brokerage in Australia last year. And for good reason, they are really, really sharp.
Yeah, it was 2 years in a row, in fact. So 2013-14. So,
it's a dynasty.
No doubt.
It's going to be like the Rabbits next year. When the Rabbits repeat as premieres, the same kind of thing.
And Jay, you alluded to real-time relevancy there, and you allude in the book to three facets of utility. Can you explain what they are? And you've already given a couple of examples, but of the other facets as well.
Yeah, I'll walk you backwards just because we teed it up. Real-time relevancy is incredibly important, right? Because it's not about just creating content. And a lot of what utility is a framework for content marketing. And it's not just about creating content, though, because anybody can do that. In fact, realtors have been creating content forever. They all have websites. Most of them suck, but they all have websites. It's about creating content that is the best possible solution for whatever the prospect needs at that given moment in time, which is why what Star Partners has done is so great, because it allows you to go inside the listing right when you need that information. One of my favorite examples of real-time relevancy is... Erica talked about some of the things that Corken Group are doing with Foursquare and Twitter. That's great. There's another one we talk about in the book from our friend Holly Beckman, because the utility for real estate is mostly about residential real estate agents, but we also have some property manager case studies in the book as well for that side of the business. And Holly is a leasing consultant in Washington, D.C. She helps people pick out the best apartment, et cetera. She actually pays attention to Twitter, just sort of listens to Twitter and sees when people tweet things like, "I hate my roommate," or "How come apartments are so expensive in Washington?" or "I got to get out of this place," like those kind of things. And she just leaps into those conversations with a helpful tweet and says, "Hey, yeah, roommates can be a real challenge. If you ever think about, you know, moving, I can probably help you. That's what I do." So she started doing that on Twitter, just spending maybe 10, 15 minutes a day on that sort of real-time relevancy. Within 8 weeks, Josh, she generated $150,000 American dollars in new leases just by doing that. Total cost, zero.
Wow, that's amazing. And I think that sort of touches on your example that I've heard you speak about a couple of times of the Hilton Suggests campaign.
Very similar.
And they're still going with that, I understand. So,
yeah, in fact, KLM, the Royal Dutch Airlines, just launched a program this week or last week, I guess it would have been now, called We Can Help. And they basically borrowed the Hilton Suggests model. And for a week, they're helping any sort of airline travelers, even if you're on a different airline. So if you happen to tweet out, oh, then this is a real example. Somebody tweeted out, "I can't believe I left my passport at home." They were on a different airline. I think they were on Virgin or something. KLM gets a hold of them and says, "What's your address? Do you have a key under the mat or whatever?" They sent somebody who works for KLM in a car to the guy's house, got his passport, brought it to the airport so he could make his flight. That's pretty fantastic.
And all his belongings were still in the house when he got home, I'm hoping?
I can't say. Yeah. I think his belongings were there, but they probably put a big logo on the middle of his kitchen table, right? Like, next time, fly KLM.
And Erica, I've found that real estate professionals in the US are a little more open to experimenting with social media, somewhat more so than what we are here in Australia. And they're achieving some outstanding results from their efforts. What are some of the steps that, you know, any real estate business should take before getting involved in social media? What should they be measuring once they do and once they get involved?
I think one of the first steps is just having a strong foundation and basis of social media, right? The premise of it, that education, that foundation is absolutely critical. So that way, when they do get their bones ready and they're up and going, they understand that framework. One of the things I always educate people on is setting up their social media profiles and making sure they have consistent URL structures throughout all their social channels. There's a lot of real estate professionals out there that have a different domain name on Facebook, a different thing in Twitter, a different thing in Google+. And you have to kind of go back to the basics and educate them on that brand consistency. Also, having solid graphics on all those social channels. That's that initial handshake that you have with the consumer, and it's really important. And a lot of times we'll be trolling in Facebook and seeing that they won't actually have a Facebook cover photo. So going back to the basics is very important. From there, I think also evaluating which other social platforms that they can tackle. You know, Facebook is great, but how do they also venture into Pinterest and Instagram, which we're starting to see a lot of folks in the US gravitate towards and find some strong success there. from a measurement perspective, definitely looking at social media referral traffic into your website is key. Looking at guest cards, conversions, and phone calls, and what are those metrics happening from social into your website? Being able to track kind of, you know, how far they're getting down your site from those platforms. And then overall engagement, right? We're seeing that drop in Facebook. So how do they work a little bit harder on their content and then mixing in with some paid ads to see that kind of peak up for them?
Yeah, fantastic. And Jay, if you wouldn't mind just expanding upon your framework that you guys at Convince and Convert work with your clients on around the social media strategy and your 7-step or 8-step process, I believe.
Yeah. So what we try and do is make sure that anything that you're doing in social media, first and foremost, ties to business objectives. There's still a lot of people who are trying to be good at social media instead of trying to be good at business because of social media. And those aren't necessarily the same thing. So you have to kind of keep that in mind. And so we do a lot of work around that. We do a lot of work around audience analysis and understanding who the people are that you're trying to reach and where they actually hang out online. And, you know, Twitter is not as big in Australia as it is in the States. And so maybe Twitter is not something that you would spend time on out there. You know, now we're getting a lot of questions from clients about, should we be on Snapchat? Should we be on WhatsApp? Should we be in some of these new, kind of emerging mobile only platforms? And, the answer is, I don't know. Are your customers there? Because if they are, you should be there. If your customers aren't there, then why would you be there at all? And so a lot of audience analysis kind of work. And then we also want to make sure that, and this is where utility really becomes important, that every company has what we call the one thing. You know, what is the one thing that sort of makes you different and differentiated from your competition? And it's not bullet points. It's not features and benefits. It's sort of what's here, right? What's in the soul of the organization that somebody should actually care about? And then how do you create either content and or social media to sort of bring that to the surface? And then the other piece that we work on a lot, and this is certainly part of the utility story, is humanity, is making sure that you put a human face. While utility talks a lot about winning the war of information, and you really have to do that. One of the examples in the book is a blog from a brokerage in Philadelphia called nakedphilly.com, where they just built it from scratch. So this is a good idea. They created the definitive blog about Philadelphia real estate. They talk about their own projects, of course, because they're also developers in addition to being a brokerage, but they talk about every other real estate thing going on in town. And they now have more website traffic than all the other brokerages combined because they are the best solution. They are the best providers of information. But you have to do that first, but then also have some sort of human element, some sort of face, because eventually real estate in particular is a very personal business, right? It's a very, you're going to spend a lot of time with this person, whether you're a buyer or a seller, and you better like them. And that's where sort of humanity and trust comes in. And social media is a great way to do that, especially with video. I mean, we're seeing more and more real estate professionals using video to either inform or humanize. And it's pretty easy to do. I mean, look at your new show, Josh, where you're doing videos, and I'm doing videos every day, and Erica's team do videos all the time. So it's the time is now for video.
Yeah, no doubt. And you've alluded to a couple of those social media channels, some of which, you're right, Jay, Twitter is not a primary channel over in Australia for our consumer base. But what other technologies and trends do you see emerging in the next 3 to 5 years and that will affect how real estate professionals will have to communicate with their clients and I guess market to their prospects? Erica, can I start with you?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest trends that we're seeing right now is collaboration. You know, as our clients are becoming more educated, there needs to be a more collaborative process that's developing. So we see a lot what's happening now with the more progressive firms. They're starting to collaborate on platforms like Evernote and Dropbox. Those are huge. And that's how we are starting to collaborate with our clients from a social media perspective. So I think that transparency is going to grow. I also think that mobile and video is huge. What we're going to start seeing in the future is 3D floor plans and some of that more panoramic view. We've got some exciting things coming down the pipeline in that. And then along with video too, a lot of things that we're seeing in multifamily just kind of coming up now are GoPro tours, which are really fun to kind of see the tour through the user as they're going through the floor plan. So that's really cool too. But I think constantly mobile, social content, video, and collaboration are going to be key.
I remember seeing a session over at Inman. It went, there was a whole I think it went for about an hour and a half, all on drones. Okay. And there was this one example of a guy that flew an actual drone with a camera attached through the house, not outside up high. It was literally through that. He was a pilot. He, you know, you obviously wouldn't hand it over to your receptionist to fly this thing through the house, this multi-million-dollar mansion. But it was amazing. What's the feeling on drones over there? I understand that they're not legal. Am I right? They're not used as much anymore.
I'm not quite sure on the legality side, but we are starting to see it pop up more and more. We actually talk about Raj Kassar in the book, and he's with the Boutique Real Estate Group selling high-end luxury real estate out of Orange County in California, and he does a lot of work with drones. So we're starting to see it sprinkled more and more, but it's definitely not mainstream yet by any means.
And on the technology side of things and trends, Jay, what are your thoughts on some of those things in the next 3 to 5 years?
I think what we're going to see is a lot of location-aware kind of programs, whether it's beacons or technology of that ilk, where you're going to be pushed information based on where you're standing and your existing behavior. So right now we're still in a circumstance where it's mobile also. We're very quickly, in my estimation, going to get to a place where it's mobile first, second, and third, and non-mobile sort of as an afterthought, almost the exact opposite of where it is today. And the kind of things that Doug is doing at Star Partners, I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. So that's where I think the greatest innovation is going to come. And then on the social side, I've been talking about this a lot, not so much in a real estate context, but just in a corporate context, that if you look at how younger people use social media, you know, they're abandoning Facebook in most cases and gravitating towards other channels. And one of the things that makes those new channels different is that they're usually organized as a one-to-one or one-to-a-few type of a circumstance. So if you look at Facebook, you look at Twitter, you look at Pinterest, you look at Instagram, you look at LinkedIn, you look at any of those, they are fundamentally built on the premise of everybody's a publisher, that I put something out there and a bunch of people will see it simultaneously. But if you look at Snapchat, WhatsApp, even texting, things along those lines, it's more of a phone book model where I'm going to send content and Josh is going to see it, or Josh and Erica are going to see it, or Josh and Erica and a third person are going to see it. It's not everybody. And I think that has really serious implications for how we communicate with our customers and prospective customers in social media, because if it becomes more about a bunch of individual connections and not this mass audience, that's going to force us to totally redo a lot of things that we've spent years investing in. And I think that's coming. I think people are getting sick of the everybody is a publisher, we're all a TV station concept.
And do you think the industry would be wise to maybe be open to the possibility that these existing platforms like Facebook and Twitter, are they going to be around in 3 to 5 years?
Well, I think they'll probably be around just because it's certainly Facebook, just because it's so large, it's hard to fathom that it would be gone. But I think they'll certainly continue to change and evolve. I mean, it's like, you know, when you have kids, right? You don't really realize how much your kids have grown until you look at the little pencil notches on the doorway, you know, where you sort of measure them every year. And like, wow, that kid's grown a lot. You don't notice it because you see him every day. Facebook's the same way. When you work in Facebook, when you're in the social media business, when you're a marketer that uses the technology, it doesn't feel like it's changed that much because you're in it every day. But if you go back and look at what Facebook was even 2 years ago versus what it is today, it's changed a ton and it will continue to do so. So I don't think the question is existential. Like, will these things exist? But I think you have to understand that unlike any technology previous, whether it's email, print ads, mobile, even in some ways, the social community is going to continue to change and evolve, and you have to stay on top of it, which is why resources like this podcast, like the Utility for Real Estate book, like the work that Erica and her team do, are so vital, because it would be really, really difficult for a real estate professional to spend the kind of time necessary to stay on the cutting edge themselves without having some people to help guide them.
And Erica, I might throw over to you, and it'll be silly not to ask, where can everyone get a copy of this amazing book, Utility for Real Estate?
We've got it available on Amazon. And Jay, do you have the link for that?
Yeah, I will send it to Josh because it's a different link for Australia. So I don't have it, unfortunately. That is foolish of me, but I will work on that.
That's all good. It's going to go in the show notes. And I know a couple of friends that have already pre-ordered that. So that's no problem at all. Well, for all of you listening today, I've actually got a copy of Jay's second book, Utility, to give away, which Jay has personally signed. And we're going to pick out one lucky person to give that to. And to be that person, all you need to do is first like us on Facebook. So go to facebook.com/stepsmarketing. Share this episode with your friends. Tag us in the post. And we'll pick out one lucky winner to receive this copy of Utility signed by Mr. Jay Bayer. So Jay and Erica, thank you so much for your time, knowledge and expertise today. Where can our audience go to learn a little bit more about you guys and your business? Erica, can I start with you?
Sure. You can pop on over to connect.homes.com.
Fantastic. What about you, Jay?
Just go to convinceandconvert.com and you can find everything about our email, the blog, multiple podcasts, all kinds of things. We should remind people, Josh, that this book is only an electronic version. So it's not in paper. So you need to have your Kindle or what have you. But it's only, I don't know what it is in Australian dollars, but US dollars, $2.99. So this is the greatest deal in the history of business books, Utility for Real Estate. I don't know how we ended up charging so little for this book, but it is quite literally, I've been to Sydney. It is not just less than a cup of coffee, which is the colloquialism we usually use in the US. It's less than like a third of a cup of coffee in Sydney prices. So it's a no-brainer.
Guys, thank you so much for joining me and look forward to sharing this show with everyone when we go live on November 3rd.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks.
Well, that's it for this week. Thanks so much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you liked today's interview, please leave us a review on iTunes. And if there's anything we can do to improve, we'd love to hear from you because at the end of the day, this show is all about helping you, the real estate pro. I hope you have a great week and I look forward to speaking with you again soon. Bye for now.